I'm Molly Wood, sitting in for Lizzie O'Leary, and this is Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. There is a lot going on in the news right now, but it is also graduation season, and we don't want to leave those grads behind. We're going to spend this hour on life after college, or what we are calling graduating into the economy. The class of 2017 is firmly in the millennial camp, and millennials are the largest generation in the United States. So what is that generation worried about when it comes to building a financial future after all those years in school? A couple of recent college grads from California share their thoughts.
My name is Michelle Salinas. I'm 24 years old, and I graduated from UCLA last June. I'm a first-generation college graduate, daughter of working-class immigrants. I've been on the job hunt for almost a year now. But there's a huge disconnect between college and getting a job. We don't learn how useless submitting applications online can be without a direct reference. We doubt ourselves and our capabilities, and that's amplified if you're a woman, a person of color, working class, etc.
Hello, my name is Gina Agbanyi. I'm 28 years old and a graduate from Loyola Marymount University with my master's in counseling. For our program, we have to complete 600 hours of an internship, and it's a little difficult to work full time during that process. So I decided to not work and fulfill my income with loans. And that is something that I am fearful about, trying to be hopeful to think that education debt is good debt, but it's still debt in the long run.
A little bit of insight there into some of the issues bothering recent graduates. No surprise, getting a job is a biggie. So let's start there. First, the good news. Salaries for graduates are at an all-time high, averaging around $49,000 a year. That's according to numbers from Korn Ferry. But as usual, there is also bad news. A recent Fed survey suggests that a college degree doesn't guarantee a career. Just 45% of millennials said they got hired in their fields, and we haven't even made it to student debt yet. So how do you break through all this noise to get the gig you want? We brought in Allison Green, founder of the popular job site Ask a Manager, to offer some advice. Allison, welcome.
Thanks so much for having me, Molly.
So we had this sort of somewhat basic question from a listener, which was, do millennials switch jobs more frequently? There's certainly the impression that they do.
There is the impression that they do. I do think there's some truth to it. And part of it is that they haven't had the same sort of loyalty from employers that used to be more typical. And they are painfully aware that they are not likely to get the same kind of commitment from a company that their parents might have had. And so they might not be as inclined to show it themselves in return. But, you know, I think there's another side of this that you don't hear as much about, which is that a lot of millennials would really like to have stable employment where they can settle in for a while. But they graduated, a lot of them graduated into such a tough economy that they've had trouble finding that. So you see more switching jobs as they try to move onto the path that they want to be on. But I think for a lot of people, it's less about a preference to jump around and more about what they've had to do to survive in an economy that's been hard to be a young worker in.
Wow, that's interesting. Do you think that the parents have learned some of the same lessons about companies, or that even if older people are switching jobs, it's sort of the same dynamic?
I think I hear from a lot of readers who get job advice from parents and other older relatives that to them doesn't seem to reflect the reality that they know. I hear a lot about parents who are kind of panicky that their kid is switching job after a couple of years, and they worry about what that's going to do to their career history. And the kid is like, look, all of my friends do this. This is really typical in my industry. I think it varies, but I do think there's a real phenomena of parents whose job searching advice reflects another time.
Yeah. How, if you are stringing jobs together, is there a way that you can brand yourself that will help you establish a career?
Yeah, first and foremost, if you can avoid jumping around a lot, it is a good thing to avoid. Not everyone has the luxury of avoiding it. I wouldn't jump just to find something new after a year or two. You can do that a few times, but if you keep doing it, it's going to limit your options. But if you've found yourself in that position through no fault of your own, or maybe it has been your fault, but you want to figure out what to do about it now, I think you want to look at what the common strands have been in the work that you've been doing. I mean, one advantage to staying at a job for, say, 5 years is that usually you're able to show some progression in terms of responsibilities and autonomy and authority. So I'd look at your career through that lens. Is there a way to show it with the multiple jobs that you've had?
So let's say you are job hopping and job hunting. Let's go back to basics. What makes your resume or your cover letter stand out to a hiring manager?
The thing that I see most people not doing as well as they could be is not just talking about the assignments that they've been given or the things they've been responsible for, but what they actually achieved, what outcomes resulted from their work. I mean, you want your resume to be different than the resume that a coworker who did kind of a mediocre job would have. You want yours to reflect something different. Because hiring managers don't just want to know what your job description was, which is what a lot of resumes show. They want to know what kind of employee you were. What did you get done? What changed as a result of it being you in that job versus someone else?
And then how do you hold your own during an interview process? I mean, it seems like interviews these days last 4 days and have a bunch of homework.
Yeah.
How do you kind of stand up for yourself?
I think most importantly, you really want to be prepared. You want to spend time before your interview really reflecting on what it takes to do the job well and what evidence you can point to that you would excel at it. Too often, people don't spend the time getting clear on that themselves. And if you don't, you can't really expect your interviewer to get a clear picture of it either. So you want to walk into the interview ready to share examples of times when you have successfully used the skills that the job requires. And I think, too, you want to think about what you need to know from the interviewer to figure out if it's a job that you want and would do well at. And people tend to really neglect this part of it, especially newer grads, but it's really crucial to ask your own questions and think rigorously about the answers to make sure that you end up in a job that you're good at and that you can be happy in.
What about negotiating? I know that's everyone's favorite topic, but if you don't, say, get the salary you want, can you actually negotiate things like benefits?
Yeah, sometimes you can. It's often easier to do it in smaller companies where things aren't quite as standardized. But really, in any type of company, the easiest benefit to negotiate will almost always be vacation time. And especially if you're coming from a company where you had pretty generous vacation time, you can explain that you don't want to lose that, and you can ask the new company to match it. There's often more flexibility there than people realize. And particularly if a company really wants you, they're going to look for ways to make it work. I will say for millennials, new grads will generally have less negotiating power. You know, when you're pretty new to working, you're more likely to have to take the standard benefits package. But it's good to know that as you become more in demand, it is something that you can negotiate.
What's the most surprising advice that you find that you still have to give?
The thing that I find myself saying probably more than anything else is to just talk like a normal person. If there's something that is upsetting you or something that you want or something you wish was happening differently, so often, and I especially see this with younger workers, but it's true in all age groups, so often people sort of suffer in silence and they get frustrated or resentful or just unhappy. Speaking up doesn't always fix it, but very often, if you just have a conversation, I mean, whether it's my coworker is singing loudly all the time and it's driving me crazy, or I want a raise, or I was hired to work on X, but all of my time is being spent on Y, whatever it might be, having a conversation will almost always get you at least closer to the outcome you want than saying nothing at all.
Allison Green runs the site Ask a Manager. Allison, thank you so much for the time.
Thanks for having me.
And starting next month, Allison Green will be joining us regularly to answer our questions about jobs and work issues. Email your queries to weekend@marketplace.org.